verse 45 and Luke chapter 22. And when he rose up from prayer, speaking of our Lord,
in the Garden of Gethsemane,
there he prayed unto the Father, and was come to his disciples, which he had instructed them before, verse 40, in Luke chapter 22. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And then he goes off and prays and comes back. He finds them, verse 45, he found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Let's go to our Lord in prayer once more. Our Father, our God, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and kindness, how greatly you have bestowed your kindness to us, demonstrated your love toward us, and put it into our hearts, a love and desire to come into your house for worship and adoration. I pray, Lord, that you help us at this time as we look into your word. Help us to cast aside all the anxiety and problems that we have or be having or will have, so that all our attention be upon you and your word. We pray, Lord, this one here who does not know you as Lord. We pray, Father, this one here who's in a backslidden condition. We ask, Lord, that you would move in a great way. We will give you the glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our last two sermons have been on backsliding, and as more I study into it or look into the word about it, we can spend a lot of time on backsliding. We all have experienced it in one some form or another, and so basically we are coming to the conclusion that the more I study it, the more I consider it, more I see examples of it in the scriptures, it's a very evil thing to backslide. And the thing about it is, we used to think of backsliding as, you know, I don't feel like it today, and I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do this anymore, or whatever. But we do not consider what we are actually doing and saying. We're actually saying, as a child of God, and because of Christ, our Savior, we do not want to or desire to come to worship you, as you are so worthy, or to give thanks unto you, or just postpone it, or we do it the way we want to. We don't feel like it, we're distracted, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we find, we think more about backsliding is an evil thing. What's interesting about Peter's case is it's recorded in the scriptures for us to study. The one thing you notice about Peter in his writing, he wrote 1st and 2nd Peter, and you find that he doesn't mention him walking on water. As we consider how we are listening to Greg Garrett, his lesson this morning about being prideful and the need to be humble, we would just have to just say, hey, did you know that I walked on the water? It was only about 4 or 5 steps. I got scared, you know, but I did walk on water. Have you ever walked on water? I walked on water. How do you know there's a God? I know there's a God, but I walked on water. You know how it would be for the old flesh. He doesn't do that. He doesn't repeat that. He doesn't even mention it. And I think I know why. in Luke 22, when he denied his Christ, his Lord, God erased all pride. It took everything away. There's not a single reason or you should think well of yourself if you've done something like Luke did. Denied his Lord openly. I mean, he expressed it. He didn't just bow his head or sit in the corner or, you know, just pretend he's one of the crowd. He sat next to the fire. You look in verse 55. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sitting down together, Peter sat down among them. And the thing about it is that we notice here that in verse 61, after he denied the Lord, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. So that means that it's in the same room. The Lord is in the same room, and he's been brought there by the wicked men, and they are harassing him. They are, the servants of Peter took turns smacking him. So Peter is there in the same room, warming himself by the fire. That's where he's at. Our Lord said to Peter, he said to him, he said, pray lest you fall into temptation. And there we see our brother Peter sitting among the enemy of the Lord, and his Lord is in the same room, and they are smacking him in the face, and they are tormenting him, and Peter is quiet. But John, he's there too, but he doesn't say anything. Basically, they were hesitant to do. Peter did once pull the sword and cut off the guy's ear, but the Lord healed him to put up his sword. I know this is God's will. Basically, what the Lord was saying to them as he spoke to them in before all that happens, he says, you will leave me. You will scatter. You will leave me. Peter says, not I. I won't. I'll die with you. Well, here's this opportunity that he boasted about. He probably didn't think he was boasting, but he was. There was confidence. He was overly confident. The Lord said, you will deny me 3 times before the rooster crows. And Peter said, no, I won't. And he didn't say, I know I won't, but he said, I will die with you. I'll go to prison with you. Well, here's the opportunity. Why is he not at least threatening, or at least saying, you don't have to hit him so hard, or he hasn't done anything? Why is he not speaking up? Because he's afraid. He's afraid. You know, we find in verse 54, before he sat down with the crowd, it says that they took him, our Lord, and led him, brought him to the high priest's house. It was John was able to get him in to the room because John had connections. We're not told anything about what John the apostle was doing or saw on our bed, but we are told what Peter is not doing. It says there they led him to the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. How often we find ourselves to be afar off. Every time God brings to us an opportunity, it seems like one of the biggest problem is not only declaring prayer, as he encouraged Peter, and the other, pray that you fall into temptation. Pray. But also we are kind of always far off. not there with the Lord, not willing to stand, not willing to be identified that we are His, we know Him, we serve Him. We're not sometimes willing to do that because we're afar off. We follow afar off. Yet we're willing to sit down next to the fire and warm ourselves with the fire they built, sit on the chairs they built, sit and even snack with the snacks they were snacking. And all this is going on is our Lord is being tormented, tortured, smacked upon, and Peter is quite comfortable sitting with them. When it comes to place where the temptation gets deeper and harder and more powerful, all we're saying when Peter becomes to lose his strength, not have the strength of his love and adoration of his Savior, I'll follow you to the end of prison. I'll go to you. A certain maid, a woman, beheld him, verse 56, and he sat by the fire, warming himself. You can see, I know how I am about fire. I'm warming my hands up and up. Say, you want some hot chocolate? Ooh. You got a big cup? You know, yeah, something so comfortable. But a woman maid beheld him, and he sat by the fire, earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. She's talking to the guys he's sitting with. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him. No. I know him not. And you think, and I could ask myself, would you do that? And, well, I could see myself sitting in close to the fire. I'm chilly. Yeah. I could see myself maybe just drinking some hot chocolate with the guys. The language is not what I care to hear about all the time. But there was somebody, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? I saw you. She said there, she looked upon him, this man was also with him. And he says, I don't know what's talking about. Which is, I know him now. That's what he said. We would not think we would do something like that. Or do we think maybe we would? We find that Christ, we're talking to the disciple who lived with our Lord for 3.5 years, who walked on the water to go to him and he saved him, who has seen his Lord crucified on the cross. And that's who we're talking about. Now we ourselves, we know him. He saved us from our sins. He saved us from condemnation. He's our Lord. We wouldn't say something like that, but he did. Our Lord told you he would. If you look back in the same chapter 22 is a good chapter to remember because you can see the long chapter. Verse 32 begins there. Verse 31, Luke 22. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Amazing statement. A statement that Peter has forgotten. He doesn't remember that. Went through one ear and out the other. Satan desired you. I have prayed for you. We come to experience that thing is that we know Satan desires to sift us as wheat. But we won't pray for ourselves as we ought. Peter would, Lord said, pray. While you're sleeping, pray that you fall into temptation. Satan desires to have you. You need to pray. And, but he said, but I prayed for thee. The faith fell not. I'm wondering if the Lord, when he looked upon Peter, that he was praying for Peter. Praying for himself. Well, I would be. He said, but I prayed for thee. And when you are converted, you strengthen your brethren. And they scattered also. You want to strengthen them. So this first now, he said there, this man, she said this man was also with him, the man, you know, spitting upon and plucking his beard out. He was with him. So that woman, I don't know what you're talking about. And after a little while, another saw him, another person, said, thou art also of them. Peter said, man, I am not. He said, well, look what he's denying, the being affiliated with them, the disciples. Well, the thing about it is that she was the one that said, he was with him. So them is with him. He's one of them. And so he says, I am not a follower of Christ. Christ can heal all of this. And then notice again in verse 59, in about the space of one hour, what a long hour. One hour, and they are still mistreating our Lord. They're still bringing charges against him. And he's still warming himself out the fire. 1 hour he's doing that. And he denied that he knows him. He's not a disciple, he's not with them. He's kept quiet, and they're still saying the things that they are saying to the Lord. He's in the service, taking turns, smacking him in the face. After 1 hour, notice it says that about the face of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him. Well, he's a Galilean. A Galilean, and he's from the south, from the north. He talks funny. As we were saying, you know. He's a Galilean, even when he says, I know him not. We know where he's from. We know who he is, a Galilean. And we know that the disciples that followed him for 3.5 years, and then when we went and arrested them, you know, they were there. And he's Galilean. He's in an area where shouldn't there be any Galileans around here? And he's a Galilean, he is. He says, of the truth, this fellow also was with him, for he's a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what you sayest, what you're saying. You know, we'll find in the other scriptures that he began to curse, to affirm, you know. Whether that cussing, make a preacher, a disciple of Christ, because when he's afraid, when he cuts, to be not exposed, when he begins to talk like them, so his speech won't betray him. He said, I know him not, but you know, I don't know what he's talking about. You know, and that's the gospel, the kingdom of each one, you know, it says that the guy who brought this up was the cousin, if I remember right, the guy that had his ear cut off. So he ought to know who cut off his cousin's ear when God, and then Christ healed it. What you think about that would cause me to say, well, we should leave this man Christ alone, you know. But they're not in the right mind. They're not thinking. They're not, you know, this is the power of darkness. They could be, that Christ speaks, I am, to the heavenly fall backwards. Even Jesus himself fell back and got back up to arrest him. They're not in the right mind, they're not thinking right. Peter's not thinking right either. He's sitting among them. And he denied the Lord. He's pretending that he's not part of the crowd. He's not part of the group. He's not part of the disciples. And then when they began to push him, with a, you know, yes you are, he says, no, I'm just like you. I cuss, carry on, I'm just like you. I'm not a disciple of Jesus. He affirmed and said, I know not to say. And then we notice in verse 60, and immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. Cock referring to a rooster crow. Now I think I had read before that the Israelites didn't keep roosters, and the Gentiles kept roosters, you know, so that was changed and a rooster would crow. But then I was reading this morning, it says, to the high priest's house. Well, they went to the high priest's house. So his house, and he's Jewish, and they're in his house, and the rooster's crowing. So apparently what I've read before, probably not true. There's a lot of myths out there. You have to think about it. So you think that the high priest, the rooster, well, I don't know who the rooster was, but it crowed early in the morning. Verse 61, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Notice that word. It was time to look. Sometimes we find just a look can say a lot. A look from our spouse speaks volumes. In fact, if you not paying attention to the work of the spouse, and they come to church with a black eye. It's a joke. A joke only those here know about it. But the saying there that, you know, just to look. He looked upon Peter. It says there, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. How he had said it to him before the rooster crowed, you shall deny me three times. Three times. I underline my paper, my Bible, as Peter remembered the word of the Lord. How fitting for a backslider to be found doing homework. The scriptures come to mind. God had spoken to us, had directed to us, had said things to us. And then we, oh yeah. He remembered. That means he had forgotten that. He had forgotten what the Lord said. I pray for thee. He had forgotten. He had forgotten why he said, I pray for thee. Satan desires to shift you as weak, but I pray for thee. And when you are converted, he had forgotten the Lord said that. And then he had forgotten what the Lord said, why he said that. He said that because Peter said, I won't deny you. You know, and then he said he would deny me three times before the rooster crowed. He had forgotten that. When a woman said, to him, you are one of them. He said, woman, I don't know what you're talking about. He had forgotten. He had not forgotten that he needed to make sure that they don't discover who he is. He hadn't forgotten that. He had not forgotten that when they actually find out who he is and who his Lord and been his Lord, what they might do to him. He hadn't forgotten that, but he'd forgotten what the Lord said to him. He said that he remembered the word of the Lord. Now look at Christ upon him. Look. What memory, very vivid memory, remembering what the Lord said. And what to say to what he had said, I will never deny you. I'll die with you. I'll go with you to prison. He had forgotten he had said that. And there was the opportunity there. The opportunity. He had said, call me, give me the Lord, call me, and I'll walk to you up on the water. And he did start the walk. Now the Lord is standing there being persecuted by the world, and he's forgotten everything he had said before. And he's in a backslidden condition. And that's one of the things I've noticed when I get in a backslidden condition. Situation, to forget what God has said and done for me before, how he had provided, to forget that, what he did. Then he remembered the word of the Lord. That's how far he had walked away from the Lord. Forgotten. He said, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, how God spoke to him, how Christ addressed him and called him by name and said, I prayed for you, prayed for you. He had forgotten all about that. The phrase Peter himself wrote, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, about the person who doesn't add things into his faith to keep close to God. They had forgotten they were purged from the sins. Wow. That's the closest thing we got in the word of God, of Peter. Talking about forgetting, about being having his sins washed away, how Christ did it for him. That is, he's talking about Peter. I've forgotten his purged from his sins. The Lord. That's how evil backsliding is when we turn from God and turn to ourselves. We looked at demons who loved the present world, and he forsook, left Paul because of the love of the and the attractions of the world, and so on, etc. Here Peter says that he remembered the word of the Lord. In verse 62, he went out. What? Bitterly. He wept. Bitterly. I'm quite certain that he didn't put a hat on his face or whatever, went out. He didn't care what they saw. He was to the point now, he went out. And he wept. building. And we're not told anything else about Peter at this time, but we are told later on that the Lord appeared to him as he rose from the dead. We're bitterly. We're told in John chapter 21 where God speaks to him, Christ, he's restored, forgiven. And we rejoice to hear that. So we noticed the neglect of prayer created Peter, put him in a situation where that he was falling afar off, where he sat down among the world and warmed his feet and his hands with the warmth of the fire, where he just were open sin, denying Christ openly, not silently as we so tempted to do, but openly denying the Lord. Actually looking somebody in the eye, and not only looking at the woman, saying, "Woman, I don't know him." But then we find when Christ looks upon him, he remembers. What a great merciful look. That look was a look of disappointment. Well, we could say so, yes. Christ is not happy about it. But it was a look that caused Peter to remember. A look that spoke volumes of bringing to remembrance of the word of the Lord that God, Christ spoke to him, comes to his mind, and he realizes what he did and what he is doing and where he is, what he's at in the building, in the room with those who is beating upon his Lord, and he's sitting him on the fire, and he's denying him that he knows him. That's all coming up to his mind, to his understanding of the great evil that he has committed, and he went out and wept bitterly. Notice when the women came and told the disciples that the Lord is risen, but notice it specifically mentions Peter getting up and running to the tomb and reached down, pick up the garments that covered the face of the Lord, and they left wandering. And we are told that the Lord appeared to him. But we're not given any details about it. We don't need any details, do we? We don't need details. Let us stand together, please. When the Lord began to give Peter the opportunity to openly before the brethren to express openly to the Lord, the Lord said, "Peter, do you love me?" And in John chapter 21, "Do you love me?" He said it three times. And the third time, Peter began to be grieved. Why does the Lord keep saying this? And he said, "You know, Lord, you know all things. You know my heart. In fact, you know it better than I know it. You know I love you." And then he said to him, "Feed, pasture, my sheep. Restore, forgive me." Yeah. So then we have not wasted time in slowing down to look at this these passages, what gives us the record of Christ keeping those whom he died for, though they are not worthy to be kept. But he does. In Jude, I'll have to read to you there. Be patient with me. Still be patient with me. A little statement here. Well, are you still being patient? All you got to do is say, "Little longer, it's a little book before Revelation." And I would have found it. Verse 24. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling. And we know how. He told Peter what Satan wanted. And he told Peter, he said, "But I prayed for thee." He's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, the glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and ever. Not only is he able to keep you from falling, but to present you faultless. That means if you present a faultless before his glory with exceeding joy, that means you're forgiven. It means he has forgiven you. Not only has he cleansed you of your sin, but he's forgiven you. And he's able to not only to keep you, but to present you faultless. His presence. That's who he is. And that's what he will do. Right? He is. Oh, Father, our God, we thank you for your word. Oh, Lord, have mercy. We're so quick to forget. We get in such a situation, condition of the heart where we have forgotten that we've been purged from our sins. We think that's not possible. We know it's possible. By him, but he will keep us and present us, forgive us. We pray, Lord, and for those who are here this morning, we know if they come to know and see the need of Christ, he will save them. We pray in Jesus' name.